world. I'm John Batson, Nagorno-Karabakh, part of Azerbaijan, and in conflict zone for many decades. Now, one more time, conflict. Azerbaijan, defending itself from provocations by troublemakers and terrorists and other bad actors. I've traveled to Azerbaijan several times over these last years, and the malign influence of certain people in Armenia led to a lack of resolution for years. We can hope now, hope is the word here, that the resolution is at hand and the peace process is once again engaged. I welcome Aline Suleymanov, the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom, my guide in Azerbaijan over many years. And I come to him because I first heard about Nagorno-Karabakh from Aline. He traveled there as a child with his father. It is a mountainous region, I'm told, exceedingly beautiful. What I've seen of it is that it's agriculturally based, but this is the South Caucasus, so you're not one thing very long. You become a mountain or a stream or a field or a glen. Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. The peace process you've talked of over the years, is it now starting again, and this time we have expectation that it will come to an agreement between Nagorno-Karabakh citizens and of Armenian descent and Azerbaijan? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Always good to be with you. Thank you. John, yes, indeed, I hope that now we could move forward with a little bit faster track with a peace agreement, both with Armenia and with the integration of the residents living in the Karabakh region of Azerbaijan of Armenian descent. And I'll tell you why this is happening. Unfortunately, a couple of days ago, and we spoke about this for a long time with you, there was a landmine explosion. Anti-tank landmine was placed in a previously cleared road. By the way, the road which we all used to go to Shusha, and two civilians were killed. And then later, a group of law enforcement officers who came to investigate were also killed by a secondary explosion. By the way, we all know that this is a favorite tactic of terrorists to do that, the secondary explosions. So this has been going on for a while, and Azerbaijan was basically forced to take action in response to this. Now, one thing which is very important to understand now, that the ceasefire agreement, which the Russian peacekeeping force facilitated on the ground, and it also was published and involved the Armenian separatists in Karabakh, specifically acknowledges the withdrawal of the forces of the Republic of Armenia military from Azerbaijani sovereign soil. Now, that's very important because for 3 years, Armenian officials, ambassadors, and prime minister, and everybody else, blatantly denied that the Armenian Republic of Armenia forces in Karabakh. As of a couple of days ago, they denied this. But then the Armenian separatists themselves acknowledged that in the text of the ceasefire agreement. And I think a removal of that main core threat to security in the region, that foreign military presence, provides an opening now that from now on, we hope that Armenia is not militarily involved in the situation in Azerbaijan, that Armenians living in Karabakh will be finally able to begin integrating with Azerbaijani society, which, as you know, you've been there, it's quite open and diverse and inclusive. Now, earlier today, we had a meeting between the representatives of the Armenian community in Karabakh and Azerbaijani officials in charge of the contacts to begin discussing the modalities. And one very important point was that we're now moving into normal neighborly conversations between people, practicalities. So Armenians asked for fuel. They said there's a shortage of fuel in Karabakh, and they also have asked for some food supplies. Azerbaijan was responded positively, and in the very near future will provide fuel for vehicles, which are emergency vehicles and firefighting vehicles, and also, of course, for heating of the schools and kindergartens. I think this is a good beginning. All of this should have happened a long time ago. That was unnecessarily delayed. But I think this is a good beginning, first step, and I hope it will be a positive road forward.
What I've observed in Azerbaijan over the years is that there are thousands, tens of thousands, who want to return to their homes in Nagorno-Karabakh after all these decades. And their property, their homes, their cemeteries all have to be reclaimed and restored. Is that underway, to your understanding, Ilyin, to satisfy the people who've been waiting for decades? Is that going to happen?
This is a very interesting point you bring up. First of all, many of the belongings, many of the homes, and of course the cemeteries, which is the most probably tragic of, in symbolic terms, have been destroyed during occupation. Overwhelming majority of Azerbaijani displaced population comes from the regions outside the former Nagorno-Karabakh region. So those areas have been liberated, and we're trying to bring people back. There's very good news. In some cases, in Fizuli, people are coming back. In Lachin, people are coming back. In Zangilan. But the fact that there's an overwhelming, enormous, gigantic problem of landmines planted by Armenians causes, slows down the process, as you could see, even we just discussed now that two civilians were killed by laying roads. But also something which international community fails to notice is that the reason there is a purely ethnically Armenian population within today within Karabakh region is because they ethnically cleansed everybody else. You can't claim ethnic rights after you kick all your neighbors out and kill some of them in the meantime. So I think this process is ongoing. The normalization should happen. But I want to specifically caution many observers because we will not do what the Armenians have done. Armenians, when they occupied, they ethnically cleansed and displaced the entire population which was living there, close to 1 million people. We will not do this. Our goal is not to displace or ethnically cleanse the Armenian population. Our goal is to integrate and to make sure that we live in peace next to each other.
The Prime Minister in Armenia has been making overtures to Europe. That's a positive thing. At the same time, Armenia has remained under some strong presence of Russian forces. Is that helpful for the peace process, for the Russian forces to be in Armenia?
I think that's a decision. It's a sovereign decision for Armenian state to decide whether they want to keep the Russian military bases on their territory, whether they want to be a part of arrangements. I mean, look, obviously Russia is a serious presence in the region. It's a significant neighbor. It's the largest neighbor we have. It's the largest nation in the world by square kilometers. So I mean, you could imagine that you can't exclude Russia from decision making in the region. And I think in this particular now, for instance, the role Russian peacekeepers are playing in terms of participating in a ceasefire and disarmament of the Armenian militants, I think is a positive example of what could be done. Now, the rest of it, in terms of Armenian own behavior, is theirs. But I want to say something which is important. There are some positive signs coming from the leadership of Armenia. President Aliyev yesterday acknowledged that. And I think it's important. It is important for our dialogue. And part of it is now that, for instance, all this doom and gloom news of mass killings in Karabakh and all this, he came out himself, Prime Minister of Armenia, Nikol Pashinyan. I said, do not believe this. This is provocation. This is aimed at undermining the peace process. I think if they don't listen to us, they should listen to the Prime Minister of Armenia.
Ilyin Suleymanov, Ambassador from Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.